X-rays, scanning, then you realize something was wrong with you. But if you don't go through the light, you will not know. So many people today, they are just in darkness. But if we come to the Lord Jesus, you will see the Lord is the light. The Lord said, I am the light of the world. And it's written there, not only in Isaiah, but in the gospel, that people who are sitting in the shadows or under the shadows of darkness, they saw a great light. So it's very important for us to open our heart to the Lord. It's very important. God will not force anyone to accept Him. So may the Lord open our eyes. But in 1 John, the concern of the Apostle John is not that you will receive this life. The concern is that you'll experience this life and live it. And that this life will be manifested. It's not good just to have this life, but this life must be manifested. Because there are so many believers today who are saved. They have received this wonderful life. But you don't see this life manifested in them. And I believe it's because of all these years, 2,000 years of tradition, so many things and so many different concepts have been brought in. So a lot of believers don't really know what they have received. Unfortunately, they don't know. So if you don't know, then of course you will not pursue this life. And you will not really enjoy and experience and treasure this wonderful life. You won't treasure this wonderful life. So John is very concerned. He's concerned not about receiving eternal life. He's concerned about the manifestation of the eternal life. You have it, but you don't live it. There are so many things we have, but you don't appreciate what you have because you don't really know what it is. If you give a little boy a diamond, a very expensive diamond, maybe 5 carat, well, wonderful. But this little boy will not treasure this. The boy wouldn't know what to do with it. He will probably play with it like a marble. Throw it around and maybe even give it to somebody else in exchange for a piece of candy. Right? Because the child doesn't understand what he has. And many Christians are like this. They're born again, they're babes in Christ, they have never been taught to appreciate, to enjoy, to live this life, to experience it day by day, and to grow into maturity with this life. So this is a concern of the apostle. Right here in the Epistle of John, he said, this life was manifested. We have seen it. We have heard it. We have examined this life. We have handled it. You know, this is the way we should deal with this wonderful life within you. The Lord wants this life to be experienced by us. It's a wonderful life. When a child is born, it's just the beginning. This child would have a lot of things to discover concerning the life that their parents have given them. Right? But if this child never grew and he was never taught and didn't go through a lot of training and experience and remains a baby, then it's not good. Definitely it's not good. Don't think it's not possible. So, the first epistle of John is very, very important. I really appreciate the emphasis of the Apostle John. We have heard it. We have seen it. I want to see it. It's not good enough just to hear, but you have to see it. To see is to believe. And for us, the believers, to believe is to see. Because our faith is not just, okay, I believe. No. Faith calls you to see the invisible things, the things that you cannot see. Don't think faith in the Bible means, okay, I just believe. I believe, okay, I believe what you tell me, Angie. Right? But I don't see it. No. According to the definition of faith in the Bible, it's different than in the dictionary. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Right? The substance of the things hoped for. By faith you see. In the world, to see is to believe, but for us, to believe is to see the spiritual things, the invisible things. To believe is to see. Physical things, to see is to believe. You don't show me, I don't believe. But the spiritual, heavenly things you cannot see, but by the living faith you see. So, faith is a mystery. Let us read Hebrews chapter 11, I think, especially for the new ones, it's very good for us to read. Would you please read it for us, George? Chapter 11, verse 1. In English. Oh, you don't have it. Okay. What about anyone who has? Let's all read it together. Come on. Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that amazing. Can you imagine by faith you understand? Is that possible? By faith you understand? Do you just believe or do you really understand? You say, it's by faith you understand. You'll understand a lot of spiritual things. The things in the spiritual realm, it is by faith you understand. Don't think that faith is just, okay, I don't know anything, but I just believe. No, this is not the scriptural faith. By faith we understand. By faith we know. By faith we see. By faith we experience this wonderful life of God. So, after receiving this eternal life, you need to really know it, to examine it. God is not afraid for you to examine this life, to prove it. Because life is very solid, it's very real, it's tangible, it can be examined, and it can be handled. In all these years, I really praise the Lord because the Lord has given us so much experience of this wonderful life. It is proven. It is proven. Many of us can testify this life that dwells in us, the eternal life, is real. You can really examine it. You can see it. You can feel it. It works. And the Lord, the Spirit of life, is moving within all of us. And then, most of all, it should be manifested through you. It's impossible to have this life and not to manifest it. No. So John started with that which has been manifested. Life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us in the Son. And we can have fellowship. This is wonderful. The fellowship of this life. How come you can have fellowship? Of course, the word fellowship, the first meaning of the word fellowship is you share it. You become a partaker. You are a receiver of this life. That is what the Bible says, as many as received him, you receive the Lord. Because life is not a thing. Life is a person. Life is a person. It's not just a thing that you receive. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, I am the life. So the life is a living person. It's God himself. We sang this song. Life is God the Father in the Son. And now as the Spirit, he comes into us to dwell in us. Right. For some of the newer believers or friends who came maybe for the first time, let me draw the three circles again. I like these three circles. You're going to move this, and I'll put it in the middle. Forget about the live stream.
Oh, here you go.
It's for everyone who is here, not for the live stream. The main thing is that everyone who is here can see it. I hope you will never forget this picture again. All right. I'm going to draw three circles. Here. Three circles. This signifies you. Man has three parts. The outward part is the body. The body. Everybody can see the body. I can see Mu Qiang here. I can see so many of you here. I don't know your name, but it's the first time I saw you last night. What is your name?
Iris,
okay. I can see Iris. And I saw her the second time this morning. But just seeing her doesn't mean I know her. Because I just saw the outward person, the body, the face of Iris. But there is an inner part of the person which is called the soul. I'm going to write here. This part here is the soul of the person, is hidden. So I know your face, but I don't know your person, right? You know me because you saw me last night, but you really don't know me. And the next morning you saw me, oh that's John. Well, yes, that's John, but what you know about me is just my face, my outward appearance. So the soul is firstly the mind of the person. The mind. I don't know what you think. Right? I see David here, but what is he thinking? I don't know. Maybe he's thinking, what is this man talking about? I don't know what he's thinking. So, to know this person, it takes much more than just knowing his face. I have to know what he's thinking, and then his emotion, his feelings, I don't know. And especially the Chinese, you may be smiling, but you don't know anything. Smile all the time, but you really don't know, or maybe he didn't like you. Right? So don't smile too much. And then the will of man, is the will, this is the soul. And the Greek word of it is the same as the word psychology, psych. So the soul is the inner person, it is the personality. So if you don't talk, you don't tell me, we don't talk with each other, I wouldn't know who you really are. So the real person is the soul, the soul. Now, within man, there is another part called the spirit of man, the spirit. The Bible tells us man is composed of three parts, the body, the soul, and the spirit. But unfortunately, right at the very beginning, when man fell, the spirit died. So if you're not born again, although you have a spirit, but a spirit is dead. The spirit is dead. So you need to be born again. What happened to a person is when man fell, here is sin. Sin entered into the flesh, into the body. So according to the Bible, the body becomes the flesh. It's called the flesh. Nothing good. It's not good. It's no longer the body. It's called the body of sin. The body of sin. So, this death here, sin just occupied our whole body and influenced our soul, so the soul becomes the self, the ego, the self. So everybody is so selfish. It's always about I, me, and myself. Everything centered on me. Look at a child. When he was born, it's always I. Me. I want that. I want this. I want that. Everything is I. The big I, the big ego. So the Lord said, if you follow me, you must deny yourself. Because yourself stands in the way. So the soul here becomes the self, the ego, the I. And the spirit, unfortunately, is dead. So one day, by the Lord's mercy, you receive the Lord. When you receive the Lord, here is God here. God is here. And this God is manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Lord, as the Holy Spirit is you, enters into your spirit. And your spirit becomes alive again. And eternal life, this life of God, this is life, the true life, the eternal life. The eternal life enters into your spirit. You receive that eternal life. It's wonderful. So today, the life of God is in your spirit. Life enters into your spirit, the eternal life. So your spirit becomes alive again. Where is the cover for this? Thank you. So, this is you. This is you. So many people, the Christians who have received this life, many didn't even know they have a human spirit, and life came into our spirit. And they continue to live in the old way, in the flesh. Now this life wants to be manifested through us. This is very important, especially for the new ones, to understand and to see. Right? So for some of you, let's read John chapter 3 again. We read it last night, but let's read it again. Here is a religious man. He is a teacher, a ruler of the Jews. He was a rabbi. And he came to Jesus. And Jesus told him, "Truly I say to you, you must be born again. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." To be born again. So, to be born again is to be born right here in this part. And the Spirit of God enters into your spirit and you receive the eternal life. And this is where you're born again. You're born again. We all can testify to you. Day by day, we are experiencing this wonderful life dwelling in us. Praise the Lord. I can testify to you. Year after year, I'm changing. Being different every year. Growing every year. This life is growing, and this life is spreading. This life is spreading into your soul and changing your soul. According to the Bible, because sin entered, this sin fills your being and influences your soul so that your mind is darkened. Your mind is darkened. So you just know the earthly things, but beyond that, you don't know. That's why people say, "God, where is God? Show me God." There's no God. They say there's no God. Why? Well, I don't see God. Show me God if there is God. How come I can't see him? Well, because you're blind. If I were blind and you tell me there's so many things in this room, I say, "Well, there's nothing. You're lying. There's nothing. Show me." If I were blind, I don't see anything. People are spiritually blinded. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17, "This I say therefore." Timo, would you please read it?
"This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind."
In the futility of their mind. Continue.
"Having their understanding darkened."
Having their understanding darkened. Not about physics. Not about biology and economy. Oh, your mind is very bright for economy. You want to make money. Right? You want to have a nice living. So for all these earthly things, you're not blind. But for spiritual, eternal things, you're blind. You don't know. You don't know the real value of life. You don't know even the very reason of your existence. You don't even know why you're here. And you don't know where you came from. Where did you come from? Oh, you say, "Well, I came from my mother's womb." Where did your mother come from? "Oh, she came from my my grandmother's womb." Where did your grandmother come from? Nobody knows where it came from because you're blinded. You think this wonderful world just came into existence by bang, 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 bang. And whoa, and after 1 million years, you have Canada, beautiful Canada. That's what people think. And people will say, oh, we came from, our ancestor is a gorilla. Monkeys. That's where we came from. And then if you say, oh, no wonder you look like a monkey, they get angry. Why are you angry if you believe your ancestor was a gorilla? And now I'm saying, wow, no wonder you look like your great, 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 great grandfather, and you're mad. 你在骂我? 不是在骂你, I'm not looking down on you. You believe your great ancestor was a gorilla. So no wonder you look like a gorilla. Then they're angry. I tell you, a gorilla will be more angry. Gorilla will be really offended. We are not like you. We didn't invent atomic bomb and nuclear bomb like you, killing each other for no good reason at all. So don't say we are your ancestors. Unfortunately, they cannot speak. Yes, really true. So if you say you're from, you through evolution, you came from the monkeys, don't say too loud. They might hear you. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. This world is so beautiful. Romans, the book of Romans says, through God's creation, you can know the power of God. If I tell you this building is just bang, 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 after 100 years, this building just exists by itself. Would you believe that, Mark? Are you sure? You don't believe that? Why not? This happens by evolution. Nobody built this. You won't believe that, would you? No, of course not. Well, how much more beautiful is Alberta, Ontario, Canada? Beautiful. Have you been to the Rockies? You should take a trip. So beautiful, and you are telling me nobody designs it. If I tell you this wonderful picture, the painting, nobody drew the painting, would you believe? No. What about you? A man so intelligent. Nobody designed human being. The Bible says God made you in the image of God. You were created in God's image, in his likeness. That's why you're so wonderful. But you would deny the Creator and you will accept the gorilla as your great ancestor. Then are you not in darkness? Right? And do you look like a gorilla? Do you want to be like a gorilla? I hope not. Of course not. So we are created by God in a very wonderful way. Spatially, within us, we have the human spirit, a spirit, because God is spirit, so that we can communicate with God. Fellowship. Now I come back to this word fellowship. Fellowship, number one, means you can receive God into you. The eternal life, you can receive the eternal life of God into you. And this is God's intention from the very beginning, that he, as his wonderful life, can enter into you. Chi-chi. Better know this. Because if you don't receive this wonderful life, first of all, you will die in your sins. This is a poison of the devil that enters into your flesh. Instead of the life of God entering into our spirit, the life of the serpent, Satan, enters into our body, the flesh. Don't think this is a small thing. Let's go to, let's stay here first in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry. Let's stay here. Being darkened in their understanding. Darkened in their understanding. Of course, if you are darkened in your understanding, you won't see anything. You don't know anything concerning the heavenly things. And why? Because they were excluded from the life of God, being alienated. I think your Bible says alienated, right? Alienated. Alienated means you're cut off. You're an alien. You're from the earth. You're an alien. An alien for the heavenly kingdom. You're an alien. That means you're cut off from what? Alienated from? Alienated from the life of God. You're cut off. You were cut off from the life of God because of sin. Because sin came in, so man is cut off, alienated from the life of God. Your purpose is to become a child of God. But now, another terrible life, the sinful life of the devil, enters into your flesh, so you're alienated, cut off from the life of God. Your mind is darkened. So your heart is hardened. So people believe there's no God. We are atheists. And what happened? They made themselves to be God. And they make piece of wood with a bald-headed guy and a big stomach, and they say, that's God. And they worship that little man-made idol to be God. And then they make some crazy figure like a monster and worship that. And that's God. How can you believe that is God? So what does it mean? It means they're darkened. They don't see. They don't understand. If I make a figure of a monster with and tell you that's God, you have to pray to that. Come. I'm your uncle. I won't deceive you. Come, let's pray to this monster. Like that. Come, Hannah. Go with me to the temple. Let's pray to that thing, that thingy. Would you come with me? You won't come with me now because you're enlightened, because you have eternal life. But if you don't have eternal life, okay, I'll go with my uncle. Fallen human beings are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. And their heart is hardened. You can tell them, no, they don't believe. They say, no. Right. Alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, and the ignorance came from the hardness of their heart. And they, having been callous, you know what a callous is, right? Something that is hardened and becomes a stone. Normally, your skin is very soft. But after, I don't know what you've done so many things, and at the end your skin becomes like stone, hardened as a callus. Giving themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. So all of these things in the world makes your heart hardened. So at the end, you have no more feeling. You have just past feelings. Your heart is hardened. So this is a problem with many human beings. Unfortunately, they don't know it. That's why they believe they are from the gorillas. And then, what does the Bible say in chapter 2? Let's go to chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now here, a lot of people did not realize this. There is the darkness, the power of darkness, principalities and power of darkness. The spirit, there's another spirit, the spirit of the serpent. So there is another spirit here. There is another spirit. That's the evil spirit. The evil spirit here. The serpent, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Children of wrath. Waiting for God's judgment. So we were all in such a state. So if there's no salvation, what's going to happen? We all need salvation. But people don't know it. They don't know it because they were in darkness. And then in chapter 5, they were sons of disobedience, verse 6. And verse 8 says, for you were formerly, what? Timo, you better help me with the Bible. You were formerly, what? Darkness. Because you don't know. You just don't know what you were doing. You were formerly darkness, but now, praise the Lord, what are you? You are light in the Lord. You're light in the Lord. So you walk as children of light. Children of light. In verse 11, and do not participate. That means do not have fellowship. You see the word is fellowship. Do not participate. Do not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Expose them. Praise the Lord for the light. So when sin entered into men, death enters and darkness. And darkness. So now that light enters, life enters into our spirit, what happens? There is light. In order for you to appreciate it, let us read 1 Thessalonians. Oh Lord, 1 Thessalonians. Let me see. It must be in 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry. I think it's chapter 5. Is it chapter 5? No. I'm looking for a verse that says, "We are the sons of light."
Huh?
Chapter 5, verse 5. Good, thank you. Yeah, chapter 5, verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 5 says, "For you are all what?
Sons of light."
Sons of light. Sons of light. And sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Praise the Lord. This is really wonderful. We are sons of the light and the sons of God. And let's go back to 1 John. 1 John, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 10. I don't want to scare you, but it's good to know. Let's read it all together. Amen. What did John say here? There are two kinds of children. Children of what?
God.
And children of?
The devil.
The devil. Which one do you prefer, Tim? Timothy? Timo?
Of course.
Of course. Of course what? Of course, children of God. Who wants to be a child of the devil? Abraham, do you want to? But you know, this is what the Bible says. If the poison and the life of the devil enters into you, you receive his life. So what are you? You're a son of the devil. We don't like to say that, but the Word of God says that. That's why there's so much corruption today. No unrighteousness, selfishness, greediness, murder, theft, fighting, and so many terrible things. That's why I said the gorillas will be very offended. They will be very offended if you say, "My ancestor is a gorilla." They will say, "No. We are not as corrupt as you are." Don't think only the little thief is corrupt. The one sitting there, the prime minister, the president, my goodness. Isn't that true? No? Not true? You don't believe that? Ah, of course you believe. Of course you know. I came from the Philippines. You know Philippines? Every president there is a big thief. The small thief just picked your pocket. The big thief robbed the whole country. And you only catch the small thief, you don't catch the big thief. Why is that? Because sin entered into man. And man became not the son of the gorilla, not little monkeys, but little devils. You think I'm exaggerating? Ever since mankind started with Cain, after man fell, killing has never stopped. Murdering has never stopped. War has never stopped. The history of all the nations is a history of war. Killing each other. Don't you agree? You're a historian? Oh, we have a historian here. Not yet, but almost. Am I right? History of China. Have you read history? The Chinese history? What is it all about? Wars, more wars, killing. Why is that? Why is that? Because the very devilish life, we call it sin, but it's really the life, the poisonous life of this devil enters into man. That is why John says it, as it is, the children of the devil. If I don't say it as it is, you won't be afraid. Oh, I just sinned. I just did some sinful thing. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I just sinned. No, it's not just sin. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Do you want to be a part of the devil? No way. I'm glad you said that. So do you like sin? I hope not. You should hate sin. No. You should say no to sin. Because that's the poison of the devil. But for you, in your mind, sin is just something, oh, I'm sorry, I did it wrong. I'm sorry, I didn't tell the truth to you. I'm sorry, I just lied to you. But you know who's the father of lies? The Bible says who? The devil. He is the father of lies. If I lie, then who is my father? Let's go to John chapter 8. I'm sorry, but I'm not trying to prove anything, but I'm just trying to expose the devil. John chapter 8. The Jew says, oh, Abraham was our father. And not this Abraham, of course. In verse 39, the Jews answered, oh, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you are Abraham's children, you will do the deeds of Abraham, right? But as it is, you are seeking to kill me. A man who told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham, this Abraham will not do. Then they said, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. They said, God is their father. So, what did the Lord say? If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my word. Then the Lord finally in verse 44 said what? Read it, please.
You are of your father the devil.
Again. You are of your father, the devil. That is a very strong word. If I were a monkey, I would say, no. We are not your father. If they can read the Bible, unfortunately, they cannot read the Bible. But I think they know more than you think. The Lord told the Jews, the religious Jews, you are of your father, the devil. The Lord exposes. Why did the Lord say that? Because instead of God being our father, and God desires to be our father by giving us his life, but the devil knew God's purpose, so he quickly entered into man first, injecting his life, the sinful life. And so the Bible says now the devil is the father of fallen humanity. Why am I saying it this morning to you? To let you realize the seriousness, because we don't realize the seriousness. We thought, well, we're just sinful. We just did something wrong. We don't go to the very source of sin. Unfortunately, this is what everybody is. Now, you have received the eternal life. You need to go to the very source of this eternal life. This is a heavenly source, which is the living God himself. And John, he's trying to bring us back to the very source of this eternal life, which is God himself, to bring us into this fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. On the one hand, for the new ones, I hope that you will realize what it's all about. I really hope so. I hope you will understand that it's not about a religion, it's about the living God. Amen. You're not joining a religion here, no. But you have to know the living God. And you have to be brought into the fellowship, communication. Firstly, you partake, you receive this wonderful living God. And secondly, after you receive this wonderful living God, you begin to have fellowship, to have communion, to communicate day by day so that you will know him more and he will fill you more. This is important. So it's not just a matter of being saved from damnation, but it is being filled with this wonderful life and to mature in this life. You need to know the seriousness. Hardly anyone will tell you what sin is. It is just the life of the devil. Would you like to have anything to do with him? George? Oh, just a little bit. How about that? Of course not. You should not just say no. You should no. You should be adamant about it. No. I don't want to have to do anything to do with this evil one. Anything to do with him. That is why God hates sin. Because sin is not just something wrong. If it is just something wrong, why do you have to hate it? Well, sin is the very nature of the devil. If you realize that, you would say, no, I would have nothing to do with it. Get away from me. But unfortunately, many of us do not realize what sin really is. We thought it's, just a little bit fun. No, you have to realize, no, this is not just something that is wrong. You have to go into the very source of sin. Now let's come back to the first epistle of John. Now concerning this matter of life, in verse 5, let's continue in verse 5. Now, time flies. Goodness, I wish it could go slower. And this is the message we heard from him. There's a message. There is an explanation. There's an explanation of this wonderful life, because you cannot say, okay, I have life. I've heard so many Christians talking about, oh, life. Yeah, of course we are for life. But hey, don't just talk about it. Life is not for you to talk about. Life is something very wonderful. God is a God of life, something living, something alive. And this is a divine life. It's not a human life. It's the divine life. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. That means we have to know the nature of this life that you have received. Don't just say, oh, yeah, we have received this life. I'm born again, I have life in me. Life is not a thing. No, life is God himself. So this life is a living God. That's why he said, now concerning this eternal life that is manifested, there is a message we have heard from him. And now we are announcing it to you that God is light. Praise the Lord. This is the first characteristic nature of this life, is that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You need to appreciate this nature of life. And John said, let us all read it. Verse 6.
If we say that we have
fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Continue.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son,
cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8. Amen. To the end of chapter 1.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Amen. In this portion of the scripture, John tells us God is light. God is light. We need to enjoy this. This is the main characteristic, the nature of this life. It is light. So a Christian must walk in the light. This is important. If you read a whole Bible, you can see light is mentioned all the time, even in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word was God, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. When sin came in, darkness came in. When this eternal life comes into you, life is the light of man. So light comes in. What is the first thing that God created in Genesis chapter 1? Light. Let there be light. Let there be light. You know, when you start to touch this life, the first thing you will realize is you will get the light. You will get the light. And when you have the light, you will see so many things. And the first thing you would realize, you will see is yourself. I've talked to so many people. Not only they say, where is God? I don't believe in God. There is no God. Of course they don't see. But another thing they don't see is, what is sin? There's no sin. They don't see that many things in their life is wrong. They don't see. They don't realize. They may know something, but they have no feeling about it. So what? So what? So when a person is in darkness, he doesn't see about himself. And now I'm not talking about the unbelievers. Now I'm talking about us, the believers. After you're born again, you still don't see yourself. You still think you're all right. There's so many things that are not right. Everybody else can see it. I'm sorry, except you yourself, you don't see it. That's the problem. You know, you have two eyes, right? Don't you? You have two eyes. What do you see with your two eyes? In this room, what do you see? You see the brothers and sisters very clearly. Do you see yourself? That's the problem. Spiritually, if you're in darkness, you don't see yourself. You think you're great. You think you're gifted. You think you can speak. You can give good messages. You think you're a good guy. And everybody else is wrong. Right? Because you can only see other people. But you don't see yourself. So you judge other people. You judge. You're wrong. That is wrong. She is wrong. Oh, why don't you do this? Why are you like that? And how come you don't come to the meetings? And why don't you pray? And you, why are you like that? Why are you not smiling? You know, you see the fault of other people, you don't see yourself. Unfortunately, the light given to you by this life, when it comes into you, the first person it shines is yourself. Searching all the inward parts, you will begin to realize, oh Lord, I'm wrong in this. You will realize what you are, and you will tell the Lord, Lord, change me. Change me. I need to be saved. I need to be transformed. Especially the leading brothers in the church life. Don't think you're a leading brother. You're going to tell this. You know, the German finger. Right, Toby? The Germans are always like, but I've never seen a German pointing over. It's very awkward. Right? I've never seen. Toby, have you done that to yourself? But you always do this to other people. Especially leading brothers. But when the light comes into you, into the Spirit, what does Proverbs 20, verse 27 says? The Spirit of man is the Lamb of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of other people. How about that? Is it? No. It's searching your inward parts. Your inward parts. It's for you, not for the others. This light is firstly, primarily for you. If you don't see what is in your heart, then you cannot help other people. Impossible. Because you're in darkness. How can a person in darkness help other people? You cannot help other people. No. Let the light shine within your heart first. And John is not talking to other people. He's not talking to unbelievers. Because unbelievers will never tell you, oh, yes, of course I have fellowship with God. I don't think an unbeliever would tell you that, right? Well, have you ever heard an unbeliever telling you, John, I have fellowship with God? Of course not. Only the believers will tell you, I have fellowship with God. Your fellowship with God, John says, well, then why are you walking in darkness? Why are you still walking in darkness? The Pharisees, the scribes, they say they have fellowship with God, but they're walking in darkness. The Roman soldiers will never tell you, oh, yeah, I have fellowship with God. But the Pharisees will tell you, of course I have fellowship with God. What do you mean? Abraham is our father. God is our father. The Lord says, no, 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 no. You are of your father, the devil. So light is very important. What does the Lord say to the Jews, the religious Jews? You hypocrite. You see the what? Huh? The speck. How big is the speck? Very tiny. Imagine, so tiny, and other people can see it? My goodness, I don't think so, right? Can you see the speck in my eyes? No, you're too far away. You're too far away. Yeah, you're too far away. Even with your glasses, I don't think you can see the speck in my eyes. But so strange, huh? We, the Christians, we think we can see the fault of everybody. Even we stand here, I can see Shirley's fault too. Even I'm staying in my home, and you are in your home, Tiv, and I can know, oh, Tiv is wrong like this. Tiv is this. Tiv is that. I'm so far away, but I can see Tiv's fault from so far, you know, as if I have a magnifying glass. Unfortunately, you really think you can see that well? Can you see into my heart? George? Here, take a look at my heart. Closer. Can you see? Even if I open it, you can see my physical heart, but you cannot see my invisible heart. Only God can see through the heart of man. But how come in the church life, oh, I can see everything about Anne there. I can see. Why is it like that? You really think you can see? Are you that capable? Hey, maybe he's better than you.